Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us. Thank you, one and all, for being here, wherever you are, or whenever you are, because you could be listening anywhere in the world at any time that's convenient for you, which is so wonderful. My guest tonight is my co-host, Lisa Campion, and we're going to talk about a topic that the two of us kick around a lot, psychic self-defense. So we're going to have some fun. If that's fun, I don't know. Anyway, but first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And it's going to be a little bit political tonight. We're going through crazy times in the United States. I'm sure you noticed that. And this time in all the prophecies from almost every culture is a turning point. You know, some say it's the apocalypse, and all that apocalypse means in Greek is it shall be revealed, sometimes translated as the veil will be lifted. And we are certainly seeing some interesting things that we all probably would rather not be seeing. But there's a phenomenon going on, something that is developing that I think needs clarification. People are making comparisons to Hitler. And there's an internet idea that says as soon as you compare something to Hitler, you've lost the argument. And I don't know that that's accurate in this circumstance or not. But the real thing we need to talk about that most people, I think, don't understand is fascism. And fascism was a term coined by Generalissimo Benito Mussolini, who was the major ally of Hitler. There were three Axis powers, was Germany, Italy, and Japan. And Mussolini said that fascism actually would more accurately be called corporatism. It's the melding of the power of government with the power of corporations, the power of the economy. And that's the part that's scaring me and what I'm seeing unfolding. As I watch President-elect Trump come up with his cabinet and some of the other things that are going on. But I think the most obvious illustration of it is the standoff between the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Standing Rock Sioux Nation. If the treaties under which Indians are considered separate sovereign nations, and the treaties are international agreements and act as law, but they've never been actually considered law in our country, unfortunately. But under those, their land is a separate nation, and anything that is done by somebody else is an invasion of a foreign country. But more than that, what we've got is people who are basically peacefully praying and saying, don't do this. We are protecting the water. We are protecting the future of our children. We are protecting our sacred lands. We are protecting our burial grounds. You can't do this. And what they're being confronted by is police, but it's basically military power, state power, that is paid for by a corporate entity. It is literally the melding of the power of the state and the power of corporations. I have never seen a more obvious manifestation of fascism in my experience. Well, I lived in a military dictatorship for a while, so I have seen it. But in my country, in modern times, in the supposedly free world, there it is. And we can talk about why, and the why is always money. The why is always money and power. But I just want to leave you with this idea of what fascism is and what we're watching. It's intense. And how is this metaphysical and spiritual? Everything is metaphysical and spiritual. And here are the native tribes sitting in prayer and being attacked. It's just mind-boggling. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope it gives you food for thought. And let's have some fun with my wonderful co-host, Lisa Campion. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me tonight.
Love having you on the show. We always have so much fun. And I also am so excited and proud for you that you have your own show.
Yeah, that's great fun.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio.
I knew it was, yeah, that's a great station. And what time is it at?
It airs on Tuesday at 2 Eastern time.
Fantastic. So something else for all of you to check in on. And obviously you can listen to it anytime through the recordings. So we're going to talk about one of those topics that we kick around fairly frequently, but I'm sure to a lot of people seem totally weird, which is psychic self-defense.
Yeah, and that's a near and dear topic to me.
And I guess the place to start is by talking about what one would defend themselves against. What's this about?
Well, this is a class. I came up with a class, you know, that I teach on this topic, mostly because I've trained a lot of healers and Reiki people and the energy medicine school. And one day one of my clients called me and she said, you know, I'm seeing some stuff you didn't teach me about in Reiki and in psychic class. And like, and she was very freaked out. She's like, you have to answer a question for me. And I'm really afraid of the answer. And I was like, what is it? She goes, you have to tell me, is evil real?
Right.
And I was thinking about that. And then I kind of like, yes, evil is real. And I really feel like, you know, we need to be prepared to deal with this. And it struck me when you were talking in your introduction about Standing Rock and about fascism. There we have it. Evil is real.
Yes.
And we have to deal with the reality of that on many levels. So psychic self-defense is really finding a stance on how we're going to be around evil. And like a lot of the New Age types or the Reiki people that I'm working with have a hard time kind of getting that under their belt. They don't, you know, like newbies have a hard time getting that under their belt. But if you spend enough time working with people or watching the news, you're soon going to figure out that psychic self-defense is then how do we deal with that truth?
Right.
And what is the nature of evil? What is the nature of evil in the world? What is the nature of spiritual evil?
Right. One of the ways that I think about it, people in whatever tradition it is have a sense of there being some kind of spiritual hierarchy, and at the top of that hierarchy is whatever their sense of the creator is. And that benevolent intelligence that set everything in motion and intends for everything to grow and prosper is something that is there, and we call on it and we have a sense of it. To think about there being a similar hierarchy that intends for life to be constrained, for people to be enslaved, essentially, to suck life force and enslave people, and that somewhere at the top of that, whatever you call them, is an intelligence that's setting that in motion, and then there's a hierarchy that it unfolds in. And the way I think about it is organized crime, which is the physical world manifestation of all of that. There are different levels of responsibility within whatever organization it is. And we could talk about which organizations we want to call organized crime. And, you know, there are some people that are at the bottom that don't even realize that what they're involved in. They're just doing their job and getting paid for it. And then there are people that keep that organized. And then there are people that actually talk to the powers that be and are told, we want this to happen and that to happen, make it happen. And once you start looking at it that way, and you can pick anything that you know is bad in the world and look at how it's structured and what it does to people, you start to realize, yeah, there's something going on here, and it does not wish me well. It wants to hurt me. It wants to take my energy away. It wants to constrain my life and enslave me. And what is that? And so one of the examples I talk about a lot is smoking. You know, smoking is not a habit. It's an addiction. Once you start, and I don't know anybody who smoked their first cigarette and didn't cough. You know, their body said, don't do this. But they did it anyway because of whatever social reasons they might have had. And very, very quickly, your body is addicted to it. It needs it. So you pay by the time that you spend smoking, you pay with the effects on your health, you pay money to get this stuff that's making you sick, and money is basically time. It's part of your life. In order to get money, you spend a part of your life to get the money, and then you give it away for something that's going to kill you. It's like hiring a hitman for some random event in the future. All of that stuff is like that, whether it's debt, whether it's any of the addictions, and it doesn't have to be an addiction to a substance. It can be an addiction to anything that costs money and ties up your time and keeps you from living well.
We talk in the energy medicine school about addictions as being sort of like what fills in the hole when there's been trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think trauma is also something we have to talk about when we talk about psychic self-defense.
Right.
Because it seems like it's all connected.
Yeah, it is all connected. But there's also a tremendous encouragement to do things that will take your time and your energy and your money and not give you anything much back, except maybe excitement. So watching professional sports is one of those things I don't understand. Let's get all excited and upset and wear the stuff and do, you know, all it is giving money to somebody else. But people really get into it. And there are lots and lots of things that are based on the idea of let's get ourselves excited, angry, upset, whatever it happens to be, artificially, not in an interaction with somebody that is close to us. And that excitement, it has a value, but it's an artificial value. And it always costs money.
We like to think about the higher self, lower self split, you know, and I think that helps sort of understand what if we're talking about the human version of this. The lower self is like the lower three chakras. It's like the animal nature, you know, and our animal self is aggressive, competitive, you know, addicted, you know, hungry, like the hungry soul, you know, the hungry kind of thing. And they're, like you can put the seven deadly sins down there in that part of ourselves too. And I understand like a lot of the things in our culture appeal to the lower self. right? And then we have the higher self, which is more the angelic self. I think there needs to be harmonizing between them. That's kind of how we come into balance. So I understand that stuff. I don't, you know, always like it. Like, I don't always enjoy those things.
Well, the point I'm making is not that, you know, people have always done that kind of stuff. It's more the way it's manipulated. Mm-hmm. That people who are making money are creating the incentive for people to do these things that are not, frequently not very good for them, because it makes the money and the people think that it's cool. and, you know, on one end are really horrific things, and on the other end are annoyances, but, you know, there it all is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the lay of the land, that there is this intention that is very manipulative, that is kind of dragging people in one direction or another. That is not their conscious choice. And it's very, very well orchestrated at this point. I can't even watch the network news, because the music, the graphics, the emotions in the voices, all of it is designed to affect you emotionally. It's not there to give you the facts. It's there to make you feel a certain way.
Right.
And there are two emotions that will basically short out your ability to make decisions. One of them is fear, and the other one is sexual arousal. So the news is about fear and the commercials are about sexual arousal, and the news is set up for you to buy stuff from the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for decades.
So long. And that sort of manipulation, like, you know, I mean, I think if we're talking about psychic self-defense, there's really two spheres we have to defend on. One of them is on the human level and the other is on the spiritual level.
Right.
You know, and what you've been talking about is the human side of things, where right. whether it's fascism and propaganda, you know, and right. and commercialism.
Well, it's living inside the sphere soup.
Right.
You know, the messages all around are, this is dangerous and you should do this because we're telling you it's dangerous and you should be afraid, so do this. And I just, you know, I don't watch network TV at all. Because if I do watch it, I sit there and scream at them. It's like, yeah. So there is that environment that's being intentionally created that affects how we go through the world and what our energy is like. And then the other piece to it, which is, I think, more the stuff that we usually talk about with psychic self-defense, is energy that is coming at somebody that they may not be aware of and affecting them. So that could be from another person. It could be from a non-physical entity. And there again, if you don't believe that there are any non-physical entities, then this doesn't make sense. And if you don't believe that any of the non-physical entities could be malevolent, this doesn't make sense. But that it's certainly my experience, and I think your experience, that yeah, there are some that are.
Yeah, they're definitely out there. There are, and I've been having a lot of questions. You know, my clients coming to me with a question of, how do I deal with this trying difficult time? How do I maintain my composure? What do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we like defend against like the negative soup you talked about? You know, negativity soup, when we're sensitive, we're psychic, we're very overwhelmed by the fear, you know, by anger, because there's been so much anger flying around. How do we protect ourselves from the sort of just ambient energy of the negative soup?
Right. And part of what happens to people who do spiritual practice or Reiki or any other kind of healing work is you become more sensitive. And so all of this stuff that might, might not have a lot of effect on somebody who is not shifting their energy. It affects you even more if you are shifting your energy.
Yeah. So I've been sort of thinking about that, like how do we hold ourselves, you know, in the light when we're in this in trying times like we are now?
Absolutely. And how can I say this without using a curse word? There's a saying, do no harm, but take no expletive deleted. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what people need to learn is we're here to do good. We're here to do no harm, but we're also here to not allow anyone to harm us. You don't have to be soft. And in the warrior traditions, the healers are not soft.
No.
You know, there are things that need to be dealt with, and some of it is very intense and can be warlike. And that's part of assuring that no harm comes to me, harm comes to my loved ones, no harm comes to my clients, especially if something external has caused them to have the problem they came to me with. It's like, no, we got to deal with this. And it frequently is very intense. One of the things I've said frequently is that having been a kid in Brooklyn helps me a whole lot in dealing with dark entities.
I bet.
I just
that was my martial arts training when I was young, you know, like, and general, like, even when I was seeing things when I was a child, I'm not really afraid, you know, I'm not afraid of people's trauma. I'm not afraid of spirits. I'm not afraid of things. I'm more like, let's deal with it up front. That's my reaction. And I'm kind of counterphobic. So it pisses me off to be afraid of things. So if I'm afraid of it, I'm like, okay, like, let's deal with that right now. You know, I'm going to get up in that, you know, get all up in that place and deal with it up front. So that's been my kind of way of dealing with the difficult situation that we're in now.
Right.
And as a healer, walking into people's trauma, which is something that I do every day.
Right. Well, you know? when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about nuts and bolts and suggestions for people. I want to make sure that people know where to find you. What's your website?
LisaCampion.com. Yeah, well, come on by and visit. It's CAMPION, like champion without the H.
Yep.
And come on by and visit my website.
Yeah, Lisa does amazing stuff and has all kinds of programs and videos and things you can plug into without having to go see her. And I love the way she set it all up. It's really wonderful. So we're going to be going to a break in a second. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest this week is my co-host, Lisa Campion, and we're talking about psychic self-defense here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening listening to Empower Radio, an entire radio station devoted to your personal development, expanding your conscious awareness, and empowering positive change. Meet our hosts and listen online at empowerradio.com, on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes, or download the Empower Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free in the App Store, and it lets you listen to our shows and podcasts on demand. Empowering people, empowering change. Empower Radio, online at empowerradio.com.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library, or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. Three, very relaxed. Two, there you go. One.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat. I'm stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Radio to inspire, encourage, and empower you. This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my co-host Lisa Campion, and we're talking about psychic self-defense. or as I think some of your students call it, defense against the dark. Dark arts.
Yes. Yes, I did. I did pitch the class that way, the defense against the dark arts.
and that's kind of the way some of it feels. There are things that you can do on a daily basis to keep your space clear your energy field, set up protection, that kind of thing. And then there are also things that are much more targeted when you feel that the problem is something targeting you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of fascinating. And the typical thing that people do and think is the essential thing to do is burning sage. And going around the house and letting the smoke clear out the negative energy. And there are a couple of things about that. Sage is wonderful, but it basically does clear out negative energy, not necessarily the spirits, if there are any. And what people don't often focus on is it's the intention behind what you're doing, whether you call it a prayer or an affirmation or whatever it is. It's the intention and the understanding that this is something that has power that makes the difference. The smoke carries the prayer, not the other way around. And so if you just go around doing the ritual and you don't really have a grounded sense of what you're doing and why you're doing it, not going to work the same as somebody who has that sense. The other thing is there are specific kinds of smoke that work well for certain specific situations. So sage is the basic go-to thing, but I burn Epsom salts, which creates a very powerful energy field that basically expands through the space and clears anything that's negative out of it. You put a little bit of Epsom salts in a fireproof container, ceramic or metal little bowl, and put just enough isopropyl alcohol on it to wet the Epsom salts. We do not want to create the Olympic torch in your living room. And use the 90% isopropyl alcohol, not the 50%, just enough to get it wet. And that acts as the fuel that burns the Epsom salts. And it's a very, very powerful tool. And I do that at least once a day.
Wow, that's so cool. I never heard of that technique. Yeah. I love that. Can you do it on a piece of charcoal too, or does it need to be the alcohol?
You probably could, but it's really easy to do with the alcohol. Hmm. And I'll often take something that takes a little time to light and put it on the edge of that flame, you know, like Palo Santo sticks or something out that little bit of fire.
Yeah, that's cool. I use it in my tub. So I take a tub almost every night, and I've always got Epsom salts in my tub. And yep. I it's very powerfully clearing that way. And you can even get, if you don't have a tub, you can get a salt scrub that you scrub on your body that's made from sea salt or Epsom salt. That's very, very effective too, I think.
Right. And you could also just do a foot soak. Or something that... it's one of those stories. So I walked into a crystal shop and the woman behind the counter said, "Oh, I heard about you. You're the guy that does that heavy duty clearing. You need to know what my great grandmother taught me." She was a seventh generation shaman. And the trick was to take an aluminum pan, bare aluminum, and put Epsom salts in the pan and just put your bare feet on the dry Epsom salts. And there is something about the energy field that's created by that combination that just draws all the gunk off your body. Very, very grounding. Good if you're feeling you can't get in your body and everything is wrong. It's an easy way to get yourself back. Epsom salt is wonderful.
Does it have to be an aluminum pan? Because it's probably a chemical reaction.
Yeah, it's something about the chemistry or the energy of the aluminum. It's got to be bare aluminum, not coated with anything.
Super cool. I've never heard that. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. It's another one of those. I love spreading the word on that because it's so easy. I have a little one in a drawer that I use to clear my hands when I do healing work. Mm-hmm. We'll pull all the, even if you're doing remote work, there's a tendency for the hands to get buzzy and it'll pull all of that off.
I call it client goo.
Yeah.
I'm covered in client goo.
The other smoke that I only heard of recently is bay leaves. It's burning bay leaves is extremely calming emotionally. So if you're emotionally flying all over the place and you want to settle down, you may want to add bay leaves to the sage smoke or just burn it separately. Inhale it, you know, use it as a smudge on your body. It's a different chemistry. It's a different plant, different chemistry, has a different effect.
I'm a big fan of frankincense and myrrh. Yep. And that's actually what they use in churches, you know, when they put the incense in the censer and they clear churches with it. And it's particularly good at dispelling sadness.
Interesting. Okay. And that typically is a piece of the resin, and you need a little piece of charcoal and they make little pieces for that particular purpose. Mm-hmm. And you have to heat that up enough that the charcoal gets lit so that it will melt the resin and give off the smoke.
Yep.
There's some traditions use copal.
Yep.
Some Central American traditions.
I like that. It has a nice piney scent. It's fresh.
It always smells like electrical insulation to me.
You think so? Oh, I like it. But frankincense and myrrh is very good. At clearing space where a lot of people have gathered. So I understand why they use it in churches.
Right. Right. And also because it shifts emotions and is very grounding. For clearing in particular, particular ghosts, the best thing I think I've ever found is what's called dragon's blood incense. Mm-hmm. No offense to my friends. It's called that because it's a dark red, but it's, again, because it's a different plant, it has different, the smoke from it has different effects. And you can get sage incense and dragon's blood incense and just use that as a way to clear a space instead of going around with a sage bundle.
I used to love this thing, this flower essences by a particular company in the UK. Mm-hmm. The company's called Petal Tones, and they make flower essence. They have one called Astral Clear and Crystal Clear. And those Astral Clear clears ghosts and spirits and spiritual energy better than almost anything I've ever used.
Yeah, that stuff's amazing. I've heard them called Spray Smudge. And I haven't worked with them enough to have a favorite. And, I know several people that swear by them. And so they're usually made from essential oils or flower essences. And if you've got one that's terrific, let me know so I can.
I will. That's the best one that I've come across.
Yeah. A friend of mine in Australia has some extraordinary essences that are very much like flower essences, but they basically were passed to her from another dimension. And one of them is called Light. And that's what I have as a spray. I'll spray that on my crown chakra. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have a spray smudge that I've found that I use consistently. But all of these are a way of acknowledging that there is something or someone stuck in your energy field, and you want to carry it off with the prayers and the smoke to take it away. So the other thing that I've got, and I can't tell you who it is, it was a gift from somebody. I have audios of singing bowls that was a specific set of, I guess they're not exactly songs, but ceremonies that were designed to clear space. And if you have a good recording of that kind of thing, where it's a sound that's designed to clear the space, you can put that on in the background, and that helps a whole lot.
Yeah, I have crystal bowls in my office, mostly because my business partner, Reese Thomas, is a crystal bowl healer.
Right.
So he gives me bowls sometimes, and I have like a root chakra bowl to help people ground, and mm-hmm. some other ones. I find them really effective.
Right. It's not one of the ways that I work, but the CD is marvelous as a way to bring that that tonality and the effect of it into a space. Mm-hmm. So
here's another psychic self-defense thing that's come up recently a bunch, is that what do you do when somebody is ill wishing you, like mm-hmm. sending you bad juju, or how do you deal with negative people, whether they're in your face being negative or they're ill wishing you? Like, how do we block ourselves from that?
Well, I've got a couple of tricks, but I'm curious what you teach.
I work mostly with the energy field, since that's always my orientation. Mm-hmm. So teaching people how to strengthen and modulate their energy field. I like playing with the colors of the outer edge of the energy field. Like when you get really good with that, you can like change the outer edge of your field to like a camo kind of color, and you can kind of go invisible. Like you can go, like people won't see you, you know?
Yeah, you have to be careful about making yourself invisible if you're going to do things like cross the street.
Right. You don't want to do that.
I've had people in crowds bump into me and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
I didn't even see you there. And I think if somebody's sending you some bad juju, then like a mirrored kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, mirror energy is very good. Like that's the ultimate return to sender.
Right. There are several... You know, you were talking about the colors that you can make your field. You can call in the energy of certain allies and use their energy, which is a specific color. So Archangel Michael is a brilliant blue. And when I was on walkabout in training, I worked in the psych hospital at night, and I used to just walk the halls playing with the blue light. It was just something to amuse myself. And there was a night where, through a whole set of circumstances that never should have happened, a patient just appeared out of nowhere and went to hit me. And I was actually standing with my hands behind my back, leaning on the door frame of the office with people behind me watching. And he tried to hit me. He was really trying to do it. And I watched the blue light compress, and he couldn't go through it, and he shook his head confused and walked away. Mm. So as you work with that kind of thing, it can be really powerful. It can change the effect of the physical world. The other one is violet flame, which is associated with Archangel Zadkiel and Saint Germain. But after you've asked them for it enough times, they will probably say, "You're a keeper of the flame. Don't bug me." But violet flame, in addition to having protective qualities, it acts as a filter that takes anything negative and turns it into positive. So I frequently, when I can't work on, I don't have permission to work on somebody, I can surround them with violet flame because it's positive and is not manipulative. And because of the effect of that buffering, I've watched people's lives change just because they were surrounded by violet flame, or the house was filled with violet flame. Very, very, very powerful. I often make that mirrored on the outside, you know, make it twinkle like it's glittering. So it has a combined effect of dispelling anything that's trying to come in and also filtering it if it does get in.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I haven't worked with that too much, the violet flame. I know a lot of people do, and I haven't really done it.
Yeah, experiment with it. It's wonderful stuff. And you know, since we started talking about allies, and this gets a little more complicated because I think people really need to be trained to do some of this. But if you're dealing with negative energies, negative personalities in the unseen world, you can do that confrontation yourself if you're trained how to do it. But it is much less dangerous and painful if you get one of the many entities that can be your ally and ask them to help you. And they will frequently with glee go, "Oh, sure, this will be fun."
It's kind of like calling in the spiritual police, right?
Right.
In the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of Archangel Michael, and in the name when you invoke in the name of, you're calling the spiritual cops.
Right.
And but then it's that I energy like that. Tangling with the, you know, you really want that energy tangling with your spirit, the bad spirit, not your energy, you know, like, is you may not win that battle, but if you're calling in the big guns, they have a much better shot at it.
Right. Right. And those, you know, Jesus and Archangel Michael are in all the Western traditions. There are very powerful entities, and the entities in every tradition are metaphors and names for something that's universal. So Michael exists in every tradition throughout the world with a different name, carrying out the same function. Because there's just the reality of what Michael is, who Michael is, what that energy does in the universe, and that you can call on it. But there are some really fascinating, powerful, and for a lot of people, scary beings that can be really helpful. The goddess Kali from the Hindu tradition really scares a lot of people. Her images, all the images are very, very frightening. The underlying story is that she is the goddess of time, and time overcomes everything in the physical world, which is why there's all these images of death. But she really likes dealing with demons.
Yeah, she's a demon slayer. She's always like portrayed with like the like a a ring of demon skulls, you know, around her neck, right, and dancing
right.
on
necklace
the
of skulls.
Yeah, and dancing on the corpses of demons, and her right. Her thing is to kill, to destroy. She's a destroyer, but to destroy right. ignorance and fear, and you know the demon forms that ignorance and fear take. So if you want to destroy that, she's pretty badass. I always liked her. If you like the Hindu deities, there's also Durga, who's a little more peaceful. She's a little more motherly. She rides on a tiger, but she's also a destroyer of demons. And right. I mean, I think when you do that, like when you call in the name of, you can call any, you know, insert deity of your choice.
Right.
You know,
right. And it's a matter of developing a relationship with them. Right. You know, study who they are, get the image, start feeling their energy, ask them for help, ask them for signs that they're really there. It's developing a relationship with them. The other one that was a surprise to me, everybody is familiar with Kuan Yin, the goddess figure in Chinese religions, but Guan Yu is the figure of a general who was a real military general. Historically, who has been made the household deity of almost every household in certain parts of China. So on their little shrine, among all the other things, is a statue of Guan Yu. And he's quite a character. And he, you know, you give him a confrontation to do to protect people, he's a happy guy. That's what his job has always been throughout many, many centuries. So you can find those figures all over in every tradition. And I always say it doesn't matter what tradition you're using, as long as you look in your tradition for what you need and you'll find it.
All right. Absolutely. Good stuff.
Any other things that come to mind? Well, you know, what we're trying to avoid is, you know, giving people ceremonies or rituals that we can't demonstrate and explain to you, because you can't do that in a conversation over the radio.
Well, I guess
you can find people and know what they're doing.
I keep coming back to what we talked about in the beginning. Like, we do, as you know, conscious people, as light workers, as you know, well-meaning people, right now, every day, to protect ourselves from the negative soup, to hold ourselves in the light. What can we do? I've had so many clients that have come to me in like almost in a state of despair,
right?
You know, and I'm wondering, you know, how do you deal with it? What can we advise people? I go back to spiritual practice as being my go-to, like meditation, my meditation practice, and, you know, being in nature, just sort of the things that, you know,
right.
keeping in positivity, doing my work in the world. That's what's on my mind. But what do you think?
Absolutely. You know, whatever it is that keeps you basically grounded. And for most people, that's some kind of physical exercise. And addition to the other stuff that we were talking about. Of course, there are times that you get knocked off of that, and that's when you need to soak in Epsom salt, smudge, you know, do everything all at the same time to get yourself back. But, you know, if you're sick, if you're tired, if you haven't had exercise for a long time, if you haven't eaten and your blood sugar drops, all of those things are openings for, first of all, just feeling lousy, but secondly, making you vulnerable to whatever it is that's going on around you. So it's take good care of yourself is the beginning of it, and do those daily rituals, the meditations, the burning, the whatever it is that you do that works for you, on a consistent basis.
And prayer, you know, and meditation prayer. And prayer. Like I don't know, like I've been praying for the people at Standing Rock, and I can't be there, you know, physically, but I've been praying and feel like
yep.
prayer is a huge powerful force that we can use anytime.
Right. Right. And then, you know, the, we don't have much time, but, you know, for people like me that take it another step, I'm looking at the negative entities that are behind what's going at Standing Rock and creating confrontations with them and disabling their energy. Mm-hmm. So, there's a whole other level to it, but the prayer and supporting them is so important. You know, we're all there with them. And, but it's, we're watching this confrontation between good and evil. Couldn't be a clearer confrontation.
I have this kind of feeling too. And I don't know, maybe it's my hopefulness or wishful thinking. I have a basically like optimistic nature, but I think, mm-hmm. if we keep ourselves in the light, we're in this sort of tipping point in the history and evolution of humanity. Like, which way are we going to go? Are we going to head down the dark path? Or are we going to move into the light? And I feel like if I put my attention on the light and I pray and I visualize a future and I live mm-hmm. as if that future is coming, that helps me stay in the light. And hold that optimism, that hope, that faith, that to me feels important about kind of swinging the ship the right way.
Absolutely. You know, and we have different jobs to do, you know, I have, and I don't do it constantly, but there are times when I just sit down, it's like, okay, you're going to have to deal with everybody that comes through me, pushing this all back. So, well, this has been so much fun, as it always is. I so enjoy our conversations together, and that we get to talk about a topic. You know, I love interviewing the guests and finding out what they've been up to, but this is so much fun picking your brain. And I get to talk about the stuff I know. So thank you so much for doing this with me.
Well, thanks for having me on your show again. It's super fun for me too.
And tell people again where they can find you.
My website is lisacampion.com, and it's C-A-M-P-I-O-N. And I'd love to hear from you. Come on by and visit.
And listen to her show on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Empower Radio.
Yes.
So thank you so much. It's always fun. And if you got curious about who's this guy, David, and what in the world does he do? You can find that information at househealing.com. Every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling link to set up a 20-minute free consultation by phone about a person, place, situation, business, whatever happens to be going on. We can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, it's hiding in plain view at the farkasfiles.com. But now that we have the Empower Radio app, you can very easily install that on whatever device you've got and click on any show and see the whole archive and listen to shows at your convenience. We're also on almost all the streaming media, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, iTunes podcasts, all of those places. So it amazes me how the technology is allowing people to very conveniently plug into all this stuff. And Empower Radio is just such a wonderful resource, 24/7 empowering messages. And, you know, find the shows that speak to you and listen to them all the time, because it's wonderful to have that going through your head instead of the junk that's out there. So thank you one and all for being with us again, because without you, what's the point to doing the show, right? Until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Radio. Have a fantastic week.